Good morning, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of Nick's Fringe. Later we'll be looking at why the Conservatives struggle so badly to gain votes from the BME community. But first, yesterday George Osborne laid out a mature economic message, contrasting himself to the compulsive approach of Labour. I asked John Stevenson MP, chairman of the Blue Collar Tory Advisory Group, whether this would be attractive to working class voters.
Well, we've got to hit the what I call the blue-collar worker. They're prevalent in my part of the world, which is Carlisle, and it's to make the Conservative message and the brand appeal to them.
So, why haven't we been able to do that so far?
Well, we were certainly very successful in the 80s and even the early 90s. I think we've just got to look to the future, bring in policies that resonate with this section of society and make them realise that we are actually on their side, that we are doing our best for them. They are working hard, there are financial pressures which we have to address, and the most important thing of all is job creation. With the personal allowance increased to 10,000, we've actually taken people out of tax. If you look at Carlisle, 3,000 people out of tax, 31,000 getting a tax reduction. So that is something that we can build upon. But most importantly of all is getting the wider economy right. We've got low interest rates, we've got our confidence returning to the business sector and to the consumer, and that is how we create the jobs. And it's jobs that matter. To lose your job is the biggest impact on your living standards. Having a job helps enormously.
The easiest way you can tell how somebody votes is if you see somebody from the BME community and you know that it's likely they won't vote Conservative. At the 2010 election, only 16% of the BME community voted for the Conservatives. If the Conservatives changed this from 1 in 6 to 1 in 3, would easily win a majority. Why do we have this problem? Sundar Katwala from British Future.
The Conservative underperformance of the ethnic minority vote is despite class, not because of class. So the biggest explanation is party brand and image. It's a hangover from the bad old days of Enoch Powell, but actually also a sense that the party has been out of touch more recently in the Thatcher and Tebbit era, and even as it's modernised. So it's tried to get more in touch, it's diversified the face of the party, but still a question mark that was still there in 2010. Are the Conservative Party really a party for people like me?
What does the Conservative Party need to do to change that, and can they do it?
I think the big message of the Fringe today was partly that a lot of these challenges are connected. The underperformance with ethnic minority voters, with northern voters, with working class voters, with young voters, it's quite similar. It's a, are you in touch with that electorate? And the other big message is this is long term. There's always a temptation a year or two out from a general election to say, well, that looks too difficult. Let's focus on the voters we can already reach. As Britain changes, as Britain becomes more diverse, every time you do that, you make the cliff higher next time. So I think when the Conservative Party look across the Atlantic and see where the Republican Party have ended up with Hispanic and minority voters, they need to act urgently to do the work.
The positive thing is that there are young Conservatives in most communities who are keen to dispel the myth that Labour are the automatic choice. Chair of Watford Conservative Future, Benita Mehta.
Well, I was 18 when I became a member, just shortly after my 18th birthday, a birthday present to myself. And I became a member because I knew the ideology with, you know, behind the Conservative Party is where my natural affiliation went towards.
So why aren't more of your friends Conservatives?
I do think that our party needs to do more to communicate effectively what we believe in and the policy, and tell people why the policies we implement will affect their lives and how they will better them. We aren't short of young, you know, Asian, gay, whatever it may be, people. We really do have them within our party, so we just need to make sure that their ideas are being implemented on the ground level. It's as simple as that.
One of the sections of the Conservative Party that has the most success in reaching out to the BME community is the Conservative Christian Fellowship. Its director, Colin Bloom.
Some of the largest churches in the country will have a very, very high BME presence. And so we spend a lot of our time partnering with and working with those churches. So just in the last year, for example, I've spoken at a number of black church conferences where, you know, there will be, at the biggest one, there were 60,000 people at one event. And we're able to talk about the work that the Conservative Christian Fellowship do, of being the bridge, of inspiring and equipping Christians to go into public life. Most Conservatives will have at one stage or other have been told you cannot be a Christian and a conservative by somebody on the left. There's a lot of myth busting that needs to go on. But I think one of the most important things that we can do is just to thank those communities for the work that they do to make our country and our cities so vibrant, so exciting, and to reach out to them.
However, some conservative activists are wary that by looking at certain communities, we're actually making things more complicated than they need to be. James Warren, a campaigner from Greenwich.
I think a lot of people, BME and others, don't trust us because we're very honest. And we don't lie to people that just by being nice you can solve the world problems. We're honest that there are very tough decisions out there, and we're prepared to make those decisions. And over time, if you do that, people will learn to respect us and then ultimately to trust us to do those things.
Well, that's very optimistic. I don't see any evidence of this message getting through. I mean, how would you get this message through?
In government, you ultimately get the messages through by the decisions you take, I think. And we'll show that we made the right decision on the deficit. We're making the right decisions on reform of public services and persevering with those. And that, I think, people come to respect. I think you must remember minority ethnic communities aren't one group. They are communities, and there are a vast range of issues in that. And I think at the end we have to take what we feel is the right approach, not to balkanise sections of the electorate.
And finally, we all hope that the Conservatives win the next election, of course, and that David Cameron stays on as PM until 2020, but it's always fun to speculate. Joe Twyman from YouGov tells me who he thinks the next leader of the party will be, with the caveat, of course, that things may change in the future.
The voting preference in leadership elections is based not entirely on ideological placement, and so people do not make a decision based just on that. They make it on, certainly in the Conservative Party, our thinking is that they make it primarily on who they think is going to be most electable. And linked into that will be the policies that the person presents, etc., etc.
Who do you think will be the next leader of the Conservative Party?
My prediction is the Michael Gove. I think he is best placed to win any leadership election. The question is, well, why Michael Gove and not Boris Johnson or Theresa May? I think not Boris Johnson, because Boris Johnson actually has a number of logistical, personal, and policy issues that will need to be overcome, but also the fact that he's very pro-immigration in his stance in London, he's very pro-Europe. All these things are difficult things that he would have to reconcile.
So that's it for the day. Thank you for listening, and join me tomorrow to see what people want from David Cameron's speech.